A boat gently rocks beneath you, the waves lulling you side to side. A haunting voice calls to you on the cool sea air. You reach out. You've been lured in by the Siren Sisters. Hi, this is Siren Sisters, and I'm Audrey. My pronouns.
Hi, I'm Ash.
My pronouns are she, her.
And mine are she, her, too.
Ooh, a couple of girlies.
Girlies.
Just girly girls. Today we're talking about Shape of Water from 2017, a romantic fantasy film directed by Guillermo del Toro. And it's the best movie. It's really.
Spoiler alert, 10 out of 10.
Spoiler, we love it. We actually saw it together in theaters.
We did. I forgot that. Mm-hmm.
It was the two of us in the theater, and there was an elderly couple in the theater with us, and it was
yes.
It was just the four of us.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And then,
wow.
And we loved it so much, we stayed through all of the credits just in case. And then at the very end, it said, not based on real events. And I was like, no!
No!
And the elderly couple was like, LOL.
Wow.
I remember it.
Wow, I can't believe I didn't remember that.
I remember it fondly because I made strangers laugh.
Validate me.
Mm-hmm. And we were like, I don't know what we were really expecting, but we were delighted.
Oh, yeah. It definitely wasn't the beautiful monster romance that we received.
I feel like we thought there was no way it could be like they're gonna ruin it for us somehow, and then they
right.
didn't, and we were so happy.
It was like we had written it for ourselves.
Oh, it's perfect.
Which is the media that we want to consume.
Correct.
Really.
That's why in high school we would just write each other's stories.
Yes. Look, if no one's gonna make good content, we're gonna do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I use the term good lightly.
Specific content.
Specific niche content. Where everyone falls in love.
Catered.
Yep.
Oh boy. What a great time though. So this movie is directed by Guillermo del Toro. The screenplay was by Guillermo del Toro and Vanessa Taylor. So Guillermo basically did this movie. He did all of it. It was released August 31st, 2017. Its runtime is 123 minutes, and the budget was $19.5 to $20 million, and it made $195.3 million at the box office. So good job.
Wow.
Good job, Guillermo.
Yay.
Round of applause.
I love when movies I like make money, because then I hope that means more like it will come.
I agree. So we can just dive into the plot. It's so good. It's just good. I want to talk about the cinematography.
The what?
The cinematography.
The cinnamon toast.
The cinnamon toast and crunch of this movie is so good.
It is, though.
It's so moody, and all of the green hues are, like, beautiful throughout. It's got a really beautiful color language to it. But we'll start. So Eliza Esposito, who was found abandoned by the side of a river as an infant, has wounds on her neck. She's mute and she communicates through sign language. In 1962, during the Cold War, Eliza works as a custodian at a secret government laboratory in Baltimore, Maryland, and lives a very routine life in an apartment above a movie theater. Her only friends are her closeted gay next-door neighbor, Giles, who's a struggling middle-aged advertising illustrator, and her co-worker, Zelda Fuller. I really want to, like... this is good. I'm just reading the Wikipedia one, so I'm like, where's the flavor?
The spice.
Because it doesn't talk about how every morning when she wakes up, she sets her egg timer and she masturbates in the bath.
Oh, yeah. That's incredibly important.
It is. It sets the tone.
Yeah. It directly ties her sexuality to water as well,
mm-hmm.
which is a theme.
And eggs.
Sure.
Yeah.
fertility. I don't know.
It's symbolism.
Yeah.
I think we get to see her and Giles like go to a pie shop that has terrible pie so he can flirt a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that goes somewhere. At the government lab, Colonel Richard Strickland just captured a mysterious creature from South America and has taken the creature to the Baltimore facility for further study. Curious about the creature, Eliza discovers it's a humanoid amphibian. She begins visiting him in secret, and the two form a close bond. See, this breezes by all the important stuff.
All the good stuff.
She sees this fish man and she's like, dang, he can't talk. And neither can I.
So we're friends.
I'm interested in this.
Yeah, she just immediately connects with him.
Well,
and it's good.
I like it because I think it might be easier for her to see his humanity. Human pack bond with him because she realizes that beings that can't speak still might have intelligence, you know?
Like she says later in the movie, like, he doesn't see me as less than or like incomplete because we both don't speak.
Love it. Love it. Snaps. Crying, sobbing. crying in the club. So I think, and the scene when they first kind of connect a little bit, she's got one of those hard boiled eggs with her, and he like swims up and he kind of hisses at her, and she just lays the little egg down, and you see his like fishy hand come up and grab it.
Grab the egg.
Yeah. So they start dating, basically.
Yeah.
Seeking to exploit the amphibian man for a U.S. advantage in the space race, General Frank Hoyt is eventually persuaded by Strickland to vivisect it. Dr. Robert Hofstetler, a scientist who is secretly a Russian spy named Dmitri, pleads unsuccessfully to Strickland to keep the amphibian man alive for further study, while simultaneously ordered by his Soviet handlers to euthanize the creature so the U.S. can't get an upper hand against the USSR. When Eliza overhears the Americans' plans for the amphibian man, I love that they call him capital A amphibian, capital N man.
I mean, he doesn't get a name.
No, he's like the creature.
Yeah.
Yeah. and the whole time Giles is kind of narrating. I think he opens it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
He opens the movie narrating. And then he does like a little bit of narration throughout, but not like a whole lot. And then he kind of closes it out at the end.
Yeah, it's like he's writing in a diary and reading it to us.
Mm-hmm. His memoir.
Yes.
Let's see. So Eliza's like, no way, my fish boyfriend, please don't. And she persuades Giles to help her free him from his watery prison. Hofstetler stumbles upon Eliza's plot in progress and chooses to assist her. Though initially reluctant, Zelda also becomes involved in making the escape successful. Eliza's great. She's kind of her work friend, and she also speaks sign language or signs. So she kind of helps Eliza voice her opinions while at work. And sometimes I think she like filters Eliza just a little bit.
Oh, she absolutely does.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we don't need them to know we're talking shit.
Yeah.
Eliza plans to release the amphibian man into a nearby canal when heavy rainfall will allow access to the ocean. In the meantime, she keeps him in her bathtub. The scientist, Hofstetler, he like makes sure she has some of the fishy food, and he tells her that he's gonna need like salt in the water, and it has to be like just right, so you gotta be careful with the water. But like she has fish bathtub supplies.
Yeah, salt
that are
and eggies
that are in limited quantity.
Yeah.
But he does eat eggs. He eats some other things. I don't know if...
Yeah, protein.
Let's see. Oh, wait, let's talk about it. Okay. So Strickland interrogates Eliza and Zelda amongst the others in the building, but he doesn't learn anything. He also has a weird fixation on Eliza because she can't speak. And when we see Strickland like go home and it's noisy and kind of loud, and when he like fucks his wife, he shuts her up basically.
He fetishizes her because she can't speak. Mm-hmm. And there's one point, I think before he's interrogating her, or like the first time he meets her in his office or something, he talks about like seeing what noises he can make her make. Ugh. And it's horrible. Strickland is horrible.
Yeah, he's the worst. He's gross. Just gross, gross, gross. He also like intentionally antagonizes the fish man in the first part of the film, and he loses his finger because the fish,
he bites his finger off.
Yeah, and his finger and his hand slowly rot and deteriorate throughout the film, which just reflects his inner grossness. So I think that was beautiful. Thank you, Guillermo.
Thank you for that.
The amphibian man back at the apartment is curious about Giles's cats. He's met with a hostile attitude from the cat. So he does eat the cat.
Yeah.
There is cat death. Don't worry, though. Giles has other cats.
Yeah, there's multiple.
Yeah. So that's fun. When Giles tries to stop him, the amphibian man gets startled and he slashes Giles's arm with his fishy claws and rushes out of the apartment. He gets as far as the cinema downstairs before Eliza finds him and returns him to her apartment. The creature touches Giles on his balding head and wounded arm, and you see his like he's got these little spots on him that kind of light up bioluminescently, and he's got like a little spine that kind of comes out of his head. And he glows a little bit, and then he's healed the next day. So
he sings flower, gleam, and glow. and then he fixes him.
And then his antenna lights up. There's this bit that Michael and I do sometimes, because we listen to Ono, Ross, and Carrie, and they do a lot of like Reiki stuff, or like they like talk about it. And Michael had this one time in dance class where somebody said like, oh man, my boobs are sore. And he's like, if only these hands could heal. So I think about that. It's very funny.
I like that joke and I'm going to assimilate it into my life now.
Perfect. We're already prepared for when you move here.
Yes.
If only these hands could heal.
If only.
Let's see. So Giles discovers that his hair has begun growing back and his wounds have healed, and he quickly forgives the amphibian man. But he really isn't like that upset with him because he understands that he is kind of wild.
Yeah, he's very gracious with him. Like he tells her that like he's a creature, like, mm-hmm. he just needs to eat. Like, he's never really mad at him.
No. Like, he's upset.
He's like, it's just his nature.
He's upset the cat's dead. But he's like...
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, he's like, this is kind of a, you know, different being from us. I'm not gonna be an asshole about this. So, good job, Giles. Eliza continues to develop her romantic relationships with the amphibian man, culminating in sexual intercourse. So they flood the bathroom. Is that how they do it the first time?
I think so.
I think so, too.
I feel like there's a time where we just see them... Like, she just takes her robe off and she's naked. And he stands up and they're just, like, touching? Is that the same time, though? Do we cut back to that and then maybe that's when they flood it, too?
I feel like we get, like, a little prelude. Do they kiss and then they do that? That's what I'm wondering.
I don't remember.
I don't think we get to see them, like, do a kiss.
I don't think so, either.
Yeah. But
they're just, like, intimately holding each other.
Yes. I think it, we get like a little flirtation and then she floods the bathroom and they like float around and have sex. And then the man who owns the movie theater below is pissed off because it's flooding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not a watertight bathroom, unfortunately. No,
it's a very old building. It's all wood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's really cute.
It's so cute. And then Giles like opens up the door and like all the water comes pouring out and you just see them kind of like hugging. Oh yeah, and then when she goes back to work, she's like talking to Zelda about it and Zelda's like, How did that happen? And Eliza describes with her hands. She like puts them together. She separates them slightly and then pokes a finger out. And that's like, oh, okay, that's how he does it.
An extendo peen.
It's hidden. It's got a secret pocket.
A sheath.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. General Hoyt unexpectedly arrives and tells Strickland that he has 36 hours to recover the amphibian man or his career and his life will be over. And he's already, like, Strickland has already bought, like, a brand new car. He's already like, I'm gonna go fuck that mute girl that I love / fetishize. He's like, while his hand is deteriorating.
Yeah, he's building this whole, like, fantasy for himself that he, like, he can basically manifest like good things, and like if he's just like a masculine man that things will go right and his life will be cool and he'll get the good job, good money, nice car, like have the perfect American family. And he's like just really buying into this, but then we're seeing like his hand literally fester from the inside because we know that he's real nasty.
He's a nasty boy, and not in a fun way.
Nope, not one of those villains that you like. Ugh. One of those villains that you hate.
You love to hate them. meanwhile, Hofstetler is... Oh, yeah. Okay, so let me backtrack just a little bit. Hold on. Yeah, meanwhile, Hofstetler is told by his handlers that he will be extracted from the U.S. in 2 days. Although the planned release date approaches, the amphibian man's health begins to deteriorate. Because you can't keep an ocean creature in a bathtub. So,
no.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Otherwise.
We would.
Guess what I would do? very much throughout Hofstetler meeting his handlers, we do not think he's going to survive. And
no, it's very uneasy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he like makes subtle moves to defend himself. Like he grabs a knife and hides it and all this stuff. And when they say like, oh, you're going to be extracted in 2 days, it's very much like, are they going to just kill me or actually take me back home?
Yeah, unsure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Amphibian Man's getting sicker. Hofstetler goes to meet his handlers, and Strickland follows him. At the rendezvous, Hofstetler is shot by one of his handlers, but Strickland, in turn, shoots and kills both of the handlers. Having realized that Hofstetler is a spy, Strickland tortures the dying Hofstetler into revealing specifics on the team, quote-unquote, which extracted, quote-unquote, the amphibian man. And Strickland is surprised to learn that Eliza and Zelda are implicated. This whole time, they're like, oh, my God, this had to be a highly organized team to break in. And it had
at least 10.
It had to be at least 10 guys. And it's like two ladies and a gay man.
Yeah. Yep.
Hooray. Strickland goes to Zelda's home, threatens her in front of her husband. And her husband is like, he sucks. Zelda wasn't going to give up Eliza. But her husband is shitty and the worst. So he reveals that Eliza had the amphibian man and her, like, mute friend was talking about it. Zelda immediately calls Eliza to warn her that Strickland is coming and that she needs to get the creature out of there, like, ASAP. Quicker than lickety-split. An enraged Strickland ransacks Eliza's empty apartment until he finds a bathtub full of chemicals and a calendar note revealing where she plans to release the amphibian man. It's like literally circled in red.
Yeah.
It was very Oh gosh, what's it called? It's almost like cartoonishly simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. It was a like almost comic book-esque in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think makes sense for this movie, just visually speaking. So.
Yeah, it helps, like, it's such a vibe. Mm. And, like, I don't know how to describe it, but it does feel like a comic book in a way.
It does.
Which is so interesting. Like, yeah.
It has that, like, so it's very, like, graphic novel because all the moody colors. But it there are some movies when you watch them, it's like, oh, I get, like, if I were reading this as a book, I feel like this would be the vibe. So I don't know. I felt like it would have, like, the vibe that we get during the movie is a similar, like, book reading kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Cool. At the canal, Eliza and Giles are bidding farewell to the creature when Strickland arrives in his stupid car. He knocks Giles down and shoots both the amphibian man and Eliza. The creature, I can't keep saying it. The creature quickly applies his healing abilities to himself. He slashes Strickland's throat and kills him, which is
hell yeah.
10 out of 10. So good. And I think, like, when they were saying goodbye, I don't think the creature understood that he would have to go alone. Like, I think...
Yeah, he didn't.
No, he was like, okay, Eliza, let's go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's like...
You're my wife now.
Yeah, and she's like, her heart is like breaking in front of him because she's like, I can't breathe underwater.
I'm sorry.
So she's fully expecting to never see him again. As the police arrive on the scene with Zelda, the amphibian man takes Eliza, jumps into the canal where he swims around her, not knowing that she is dead. When he applies his healing ability underwater to the scars on Eliza's neck, they open to reveal gills like his. She jolts back to life, and the two embrace and kiss. In a closing voiceover narration, Giles conveys his belief that Eliza lived happily ever after and remained in love with the amphibian man, which I would... Wow.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's hot.
He's hot. He's like, he understands her. He listens. So we have Sally Hawkins as Eliza Esposito, Michael Shannon as Richard Strickland, Richard Jenkins as Giles, Doug Jones as the amphibian man. Doug Jones. Okay.
Doug Jones.
I love Doug Jones. Okay. So Doug Jones is a contortionist, and he is he's the most popular, most famous, like, non-human character actors because of his unique anatomy. He he's got exceedingly long limbs and hands, and he's very thin. So when you apply all the prosthetics to him, he looks pretty, like, he's, like, fleshed out just a little bit.
It's regular size, like, proportions.
Yeah, yeah, just a little bit, but just a little unsettling. So he's really good at just, like, body acting. But he's one of my favorite guys. Every time I see somebody in monster makeup or prosthetics, I'm like... Is it Doug? Is it Doug?
Is it him?
Is Doug in the room with us? but I'll just read off a couple of his credits because it's nuts. Hocus Pocus as Billy Butcherson. He's in Tank Girl, which I've never seen. He's in so many things. Let me find another one I've actually seen. Oh, Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman. Let's see, Men in Black 2 as Joey. He was in Hellboy as Abe Sapien, another handsome fish man. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari as Caesar. He was in Doom as a sewer imp. The Benchwarmers, Lady in the Water. He was one of the, like, Tartutics. I think those are the wolf guys. I don't remember. Lady in the Water is a wild movie.
Yeah, it is.
Another Guillermo del Toro bit is Pan's Labyrinth. He was the Fawn and the Pale Man. So with the hand.
Oh, he was both.
Yes. Yes. So.
Oh.
He's a great actor. The body language is superb. He's in Hellboy 2. Super good. Oh boy. I feel like there was more recently, but yeah, no, makes sense. There was more recently. Anyway, oh, he was in the Bye Bye Man. He was the Bye Bye Man.
Wow.
Oh, that's great. He did reprise his role in Hocus Pocus 2 as Billy Butcherson.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Shout outs to Jug Jones. So the initial co-production film was between the United States and Mexico, because Guillermo del Toro is always like he's a great filmmaker, and he is very active in trying to add more diversity behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. But he was primarily inspired by his childhood memories of seeing Creature from the Black Lagoon and wanted to see the Gill Man and Kay Lawrence, played by Julie Adams, succeed in their romance.
Yay!
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
So good. All right. So I don't know. How do we rate this? Because it's like...
It's not
a normal mermaid format.
It's not. He's not a mermaid. We have to get that out of the way.
No.
He's sure not.
But
he is a fish man, and how different is that really?
He's got scales, he's got fins, he's got special powers, and he breathes water. That's like check, check, check. Down the mermaid list.
Right. And we love him.
And we love him. So I mean, it's like it's a 5 out of 5. On the movie scale.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As far as the like mermaid scale goes, I would say like a 6 out of 10 or a 7 out of 10 even. Because we get a good amount of like fishman content.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too. Because he's also a fishman the whole time. He never turns into a human, which is, you know, one of our great gripes.
Uh-huh.
And he's in most of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, they show
so
that.
We get a lot of quality time.
They show that monster.
Yeah, real good.
Some movies save the monster. You got to hide the monster a little bit. This movie was not that.
Put him right out in the open.
Yeah, we got to see that boy. We got to see his fish dick.
But we didn't.
No, but it's fine. I feel like there's enough. There's fan art. It's fine. We don't need
it. If we wanted to find it, we could.
Exactly. We don't need to see it in the movie.
No. That'd be a different movie.
There's also this beautiful scene that is Elsa's imagination where they're dancing together, like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers style.
Yes.
And it's so good. I love it. Which it's something nice. Between her and Giles, like they watch old movies together and they do like dancing stuff. So, you know, they like dance together on the couch.
Yeah. With their feet.
It's adorable. There's also a terrible, terrible secondary plot point where Giles, he tries to get his old job back and he's denied because of alleged, like, I think it's his homosexuality. I think there was an incident and that's why they didn't bring him back.
Yeah, and like also just moving away from like physical art in general.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Like just moving on with the times. Like he did really well done, like illustrated, like you would see in like 50s magazines.
Mm-hmm.
But like we've moved into the 60s at this point.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's like more photography based, but.
Yes. Cameras got a lot better. Color film was more widely used. Like it was available in the 50s, but it wasn't as easy to get. So you do see a big shift to photography. And that is me bullshitting from watching Mad Men and like remembering conversations, like it's
context clues,
stuff my grandparents had in their basement.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you.
I know, right? You know all about that.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
So, like, the times are kind of moving. He's trying to hold on to his youth through his hair. He wears a hairpiece. Yeah. And he flirts with a much younger man. And the younger man at the pie shop, he does a big racism. And then Giles is like, oh, my God, that I can't believe you did that. Like, that's not okay. And Giles is like, whatever. Or no, the other guy is like, whatever. They can't sit here. Yeah. And he was like, oh, well, I thought we would get to know each other more. And he's like, you get that gay shit out of here. And it's very sad.
Yeah.
It's upsetting. So, so they all get to be misfits together.
Yeah.
Until his best friend dives into the ocean and leaves him
with
alone.
With her fish man. Poor Giles.
Oh, I know. I'm assuming he becomes a very successful author and he's written their love story. And that's why
Absolutely. We're
hearing it in this format.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, yeah. The film did have a pretty successful release in Canada, the U.S. and Mexico. And the critical response was really good. The film has an approval rating of 92% based on 463 reviews from Rotten Tomatoes and an average rating of 8.4 out of 10. And it's good. You should watch it. We should all watch it together.
Go watch it. Everybody.
Everybody. That's so funny. All right, cool. Man, I don't know what else to say. It's just so good.
I know. Like, so much of it is just the experience and, like, the good, good feels. And just, like, it's honestly a really good representation of, oh my God, I just forgot the term. I'm an idiot. The female gaze.
Oh, yes, the female gaze. There she is.
Yes. Yes. Like, it's not overtly sexual at all.
Okay, hold on. The part where she...
Except for the bathtub.
Except for the bathtub and the parts where they fuck. And
but, like, when they fuck, they're just, like, gently holding each other.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's not like they're, like, writhing. Oh, the bad guy fucks.
Yeah, no.
I guess you're right.
Yes. So the bad guy...
You're right.
The bad guy has a scene that is, like, very overtly sexual and, like, I would say grotesquely sexual. And then when it's our heroine and hero, it's definitely more intimate and, like, loving. And you can really tell the difference. It's not, like, just sexy to be sexy. It's sexy because they already love.
Yeah. And I guess I didn't really realize... I mean, I guess I did, but, like... how much this movie is kind of geared towards women in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And like the whole thing is a social commentary on like the treatment of women in general and like minorities and like, cause like Zelda is black. Mm. Eliza is Hispanic
and disabled
Yeah. Giles is gay.
Yeah.
So like all of this kind of combined and like Strickland interviews Eliza and Zelda at first. And, like, in the middle of the interview, he's like, what am I doing? I'm interviewing the fucking help.
Yeah.
And he just, like, stops interviewing them. Like, my guy, they're the ones that did it, but he couldn't take them seriously because he looked down on them so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, that's another underlying theme throughout the whole thing.
You know, misogyny does have its benefits sometimes.
Just sneaking under the radar.
Getting away with kidnapping.
Yes, because like when you just read the series of events out loud, it sounds really wild, but it doesn't come across that way in the movie. Mm. Like, it's so gentle and like there's so many intricacies and just experiencing the emotions. Mm. It doesn't sound as crazy as the synopsis makes it.
The writing, the tone, it's perfect. Just I can't think of like anything I would cut or change. Which,
yeah,
I'm very critical. I mean,
right, same. Like, I don't like the stuff with Strickland because it's yucky and it makes me feel yucky, but that's also the point.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, like, it's done in a way that is impactful.
I respect it.
Yeah.
Do I want an hour more of them just having a happy life underwater? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Shape of Water 2, them hanging out underwater.
Shape of Water 2, Homecoming.
Yes.
It did receive some awards.
Good.
The Shape of Water received 13 nominations for the 90th Academy Awards, and which is the most of any film in 2018. It won in four categories: Best Production Design, Best Original Score, Best Director, and Best Picture. It was the second fantasy film to ever win Best Picture after Lord of the Rings: Return of the King.
Wow.
Right? And I think that's...
It deserves it.
I think it's appropriate. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. But yeah, it like won some other awards that I don't really care about. It won some Canadian awards, too. Let's see. What did it get? Eligible... I can't read this. Anyway. Great movie. It deserves all its flowers.
It does. And it's based off of a novella.
Oh.
Actually, called Mrs. Caliban. And I haven't read it, but I want to. Hmm. And I think it's on our list of things to review, but I wasn't sure if we were actually going to do it because, you know, we did the movie and I have no idea what the book is like compared to the movie.
Same. I'm almost scared to read it.
I know.
Because I love the movie so much.
Right. Huh. And like the vibes must be different. It's very short, so I feel like...
It probably wouldn't ruin the whole thing.
I wouldn't think so.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Maybe we'll try it. Maybe we'll come back and add it on as a little part two.
Yeah. A part two. Like a bonus episode 1 month.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be fun. Oh, Octavia Spencer is the lady that plays Zelda. She's amazing.
Yes, love her.
She's so good.
Incredible woman. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Perfect casting, honestly.
Yes.
all right. Super duper. Well, I think that's it. I think that's what we got for Shape of Water.
Yeah. Do you have an ocean fact to get us out of here? I almost said ride us out of here, and I hated that, so...
yeah, let me hold on. Ocean facts or just marine life facts. Amphibians are marine life that live mostly in water and sometimes on land. They're kind of like the double life creature because they can survive in both environments, but typically they do need to return to the water at some point. Some amphibia are salt tolerant. Rana pipiens, the tiger frog, are found in brackish waters, lagoons, and mangroves. And there's also a crab-eating frog that can survive in seawater. So, ooh. Yeah, there's some spicy, salty frogs out there.
Spicy, salty.
Yeah. But super duper. Most amphibians are freshwater creatures, though.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool. Usually amphibians evolve, or not evolve. Usually amphibians are born as eggs and they go through some sort of transformation. So I wonder what kind of fun transformation their babies would have.
Yes.
That would be wild. Would they...
I mean, humans kind of also do that in the womb as they kind of grow. They look like little tadpoles for a while. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, we breathe water while we're in the womb. So
yeah.
We are amphibian people.
Nutrient soup. Yeah, love that stuff.
Num, num, num.
Put me back in my back to tank. all right. Well, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, kind of, and Facebook. And we have all of our links in our description below. So come hang out, I guess.
Go talk to us.
Yeah, and we'll try and be more regular, but
we're working on it.
Yeah,
we're busy mermaids.
Yeah, we're very busy underwater here. So this has been Siren Sisters. I've been Audrey.
I've been Ash.
And we'll dive in with you next time, but now we gotta return to the ocean.
Yeah, goodbye.
Splash.
Splash.